I'm going to read from 1 John and chapter 3. I'll read from verse 10, but focus on verses 16 to 18. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in words or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Evidently, one of the hallmarks of the false teachers which have infiltrated the congregations to whom John is writing claimed to walk with God, claimed to know Jesus, and yet their lifestyle was such that they were totally lacking in love. And John is making it clear that if you love the Lord Jesus, you will love his people. You'll love all people, of course, but you'll have a particular regard for those who are of the household of faith. And he begins by saying that we know love because he laid down his life for us, which is a very Johannine phrase. And of course the death of Jesus Christ was the ultimate and total expression of love, that he should lay down his life for his friends. He did not have to die, he did not have to come, but for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And that is a wonderful, powerful demonstration of love which the believer holds dear. And yet he goes on to say, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In one respect, the Lord laying down his life is very different to our laying down our lives. Now, of course, it's perfectly possible that we might one day lose our lives for Christ, or we might lose our life in order that somebody else may benefit. There are, of course, differences. When the Lord laid down his life, it was to pay for sin. If ever we lay down our lives, it's not to pay for any sin. When the Lord laid down his life, it was to procure life for all who would believe. If we lay down our life, of course, it bestows life on none. So in one respect, they're very different things, and yet he is our role model. It's wonderfully dramatic, of course, to think that we might give or lay down our life for another person. And yet the illustration, the point he goes on to make in verse 17, is somewhat more mundane. Whoever has the goods of this world and sees his brother in need ought not to shut up his heart from him. In other words, if you have things that you own and somebody else is in need, you ought to give them. That might not be quite laying down your life, but it's certainly laying down the things that you own. Laying down your treasure. Laying down your prosperity. Because God's people are to be characterized by love and regard for others. If I'm not prepared to give money or food to somebody in need, presumably, neither would I lay down my life for them. And that, of course, puts me out of kilter with the Lord Jesus Christ, who did lay down his life for me. If you're truly one of the Lord's people, You will demonstrate that, not just by what you talk about, but by what you do. You will lay down your life for others. You will help your brother in need. And of course, John is speaking here in the negative. Somebody here has the goods of the world. A brother is in need, a fellow Christian, and his heart is shut up. If that is the case, how does the love of God abide in him? Well, it doesn't. The proof is in the pudding. If there is a shutting up of the heart and a coldness of the heart towards a fellow human being, especially another believer, the love of God cannot be said to be abiding in you. Many people talk about laying down their lives, but few of us are asked to do that. Yet all of us, or most of us, are asked from time to time to surrender some of the goods of this world that other people might benefit. In verse 18 he says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In other words, don't just talk about the love you feel. Don't just tell people how loving you are. But let your love be demonstrated and proven by what you do and the reality in which you operate. One of the points of John's epistle is to determine right from wrong, truth from error, orthodoxy from heterodoxy. And one of the hallmarks of the true child of God is not just that they believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, which is an important benchmark, but also the way they live their life. Lifestyle should not be divorced from theology. The way we operate should not be separated from the way we think. What we do should not be at odds with what we believe. Let's not just talk about it, let us do it. Let us be people of deed and truth, not just word and tongue. Amen.